Let's open to the book of Proverbs, and I'll read to us the first verse, Proverbs, and we are continuing today with our series on the book of Proverbs, the benefits of wisdom, the benefits of having this eternal treasure. So our subject today is this, the benefits of the eternal treasure. Verse 1 of chapter 3, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace will they add, or they will add to you. The Proverbs of Solomon are really more than just clever sayings or poetic sayings. Rather, they refer to godly instruction. There is a spiritual truth. There is an application for each generation, for each one of us. And they teach us, and by comparison, there's contrasts made by pictures or illustrations of truth. And they are rich, and they are full of spiritual truth. We are going to look at some of these truths, but we saw last week that our hearts are a treasure house, a storehouse for a treasure that is more precious than gold, more precious than silver, and that we ought to store this precious treasure in our hearts. And we know that according to Psalms, that if we hide God's word in our heart, it will be a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. It will keep us and protect us and help us every step of the way. So this treasure, this that we are hiding in our hearts, it's eternal. It lasts forever. It is settled forever in heaven. It's not just something which is going to be lost or stolen and gone or decay and rust away. No, this is eternal treasure that we are talking about, that we are hiding in our hearts. And today we will see that this treasure provides blessings beyond what we can even describe. Blessings that are more and richer and deeper than we can really even think, that it is an abundance of blessing, that it is grace to our lives. And these graces that are stored up in our heart, that are written upon the tablet of our heart, they bring forth much more than money could ever buy. Even if we were trillionaires, this grace is more valuable than all the wealth that any man could possibly have. Yes, it's true that money can buy a lot of good things. I'm not doubting that. But do you know, you can buy something brand new, and minutes later, that brand new thing can be damaged or knocked off the table and fall down and break. And the moment you buy it, it starts decaying and getting aged. And after a few months, it's looking older. And a few years, it's rusting. And some more time, moth is eating it. And then after a long time, maybe thieves break in and steal it. And it's gone forever. Yes, money can buy things, but those things don't last. But now this treasure in the Holy Word of God, this treasure stored in our heart, oh, it is eternal. No thief can break in and steal our eternal treasure. And it lasts forever. And it doesn't only last forever, it matures and gets richer and richer and deeper and deeper. It grows. It's alive. It grows. So we are going to see that that this treasure that we are talking about, it brings forth eternal things. Things that we will enjoy in heaven forever and ever. And we see the first two eternal treasures in the next verse, in verse 2. And that is simply this: for length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. I don't care how rich a person is, you can't buy long life. You can't buy health. You can't buy peace. But this gives long life and peace. Keeping God's commandments add a long life. But not just a long life, a useful life. A life of the highest good. A life of happiness. A life of peace. By keeping them in your heart, there will always be peace. Peace flowing to you. Do you know this? The more grace in your heart, the more we hide the word in our heart, the more peace shall increase. Do you want peace? Oh, just put the word in your heart. Feed upon the word. Meditate upon the word. Rely upon the word. A trust comes. Oh, I know that my God is faithful. He will not fail me. So as grace increases, peace will increase. And of the increase of Christ's government and peace, peace in the heart and peace in the world, there shall be no end. No end to the peace that will flow towards us. Great and growing peace is for those who love the law of God, the word of God. Look at it like this. Moses in the Old Testament, Moses promised long life to those who keep his commandments, who keep God's commandments, the law. But the gospel, the gospel promises not long life, promises eternal life, life forever. Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. And on top of that, his grace and his care and his mercy uphold us and keep us. And we know, according to the Gospel of John, that no one is able to pluck us out of his keeping hand. He keeps us safe. John 10:28, and I give them eternal life. Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now we are reminded in the next verse, verse 3, we're reminded to keep them, to keep the word, to keep this treasure, to keep this wisdom, to keep it where? In our hearts. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And we should know how precious his word is. Do you know how valuable his word is? Let me tell you what happened to me when I was young. I used to collect stamps, postage stamps. And great joy would be to swap stamps with somebody. So you'd find another collector and you'd trade. I'll give you this one for that one. And I had all square or rectangular stamps. And I saw this person had a triangle stamp. And I wanted that triangle stamp. I had no idea of its worth, its value, or anything. I just wanted it because of it was a new shape that I didn't have. So I traded, I think, about 3 or 4 stamps for this triangle stamp. I was very happy. And I took it home and I thought, let me go up to our local little village shop. There's a man in that shop who knows everything about stamps. And I said to him, look what I've got, a triangle stamp. He looked at it. He said, where did you get that? My goodness, do you know how much that is worth? He said, it's worth about 17,000 shillings. And as a youngster, to me, that was as high as a million. I thought, my goodness, I'm rich, I'm rich. And he said, where did you get it? Anyway, when I got home, I looked at that stamp differently. Oh, I made a special page in my photo, in my stamp album. I put it on a special page. It was my joy and my delight because I knew its value. I thought it was so valuable. Well, the same with the Word of God. When we see how valuable the Word is, how settled it is in heaven, how true it is, how pure it is, oh, we will value it and we will write it and inscribe it upon our hearts. We will treasure it above everything else. And the Word of God, I remember growing up when I would be, as a youngster, afraid, worried, I would open my Bible and read it. And when I read it, it calmed me and peace came to me and strength came to me. And I knew it shall be well. It is well. It is well with my soul. And do you know it's still like that today? Whenever we face a difficulty, treasure the Word. Open the Word. It will bring peace to your troubled heart. It will calm you. It will settle you. And it will give hope to you. Well, let's move on quickly. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Let not mercy and good faith go from you. Let not loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Value them. Hold these treasures tightly. Give them the special place that they deserve in your heart. Do not forfeit these, is the meaning. Live by them. Keep interested in them. Bind them about your neck as a graceful ornament. Write them and continue writing them. Now that word writing means inscribe. Inscribe or carve upon your heart. And when something is inscribed, it's lasting. I read a story this week of a famous person from years ago who was sentenced to prison. And they inscribed and they scratched on the wall of their prison cell words and sentences. And I thought, let me look and see some of the famous sentences that were inscribed upon prison cells. And I read one that touched my heart. In 1730, a reformed French lady, Marie Durant, she was a reformed believer. She was imprisoned at the age of 19, shortly after her marriage. Her husband was arrested and taken to prison and died in prison just a few days after her marriage. And then at the age of 19, she was arrested and put in prison. And you know what her crime was? Do you know what she did wrong? Her brother was a preacher and they wanted to use her to pressure the brother to recant, to stop preaching the gospel. And she inscribed one word on the wall in the prison. And still today, that word is visible. You can look on internet and see it. It's the French word, résister. Résister, which means resist. Don't give in. Don't give up. And she was held in prison for 38 years. 38 years, this 19-year-old girl was held in prison because they were trying to get this Protestant preacher, her brother, to convert back to Catholicism. And she said, "Stand. I'm going to stand firm." And that was the meaning. And, oh, if she could stand firm, if she could engrave that one word there, just an ordinary word, oh, if we engrave God's word on our hearts, may it be with us for our entire lives. Oh, it will guide us, it will keep us, it will help us every step of the way. Not just God's word, Christ's teaching, Christ's doctrines engraved on my heart. It's clear. I know that some of us believe in Christ Jesus. We've trusted his word and we've trusted his teaching and we've received salvation. And it's wonderful. But it's very clear that by trusting his word, we receive salvation. But also let us imitate God's word for every step of our life. We are our Father's children. He's our Father. We are his children. We are created in his image. Then we should let the Father's image be seen in us in all our life. And how much better to have the word in our heart, to see that our behavior is in unison and step with God's word. It is one with God's word. And it says, this verse says that we should not let these two graces, mercy and truth, depart from our lives. Never forget to be truthful and to be kind. We must have both of these graces, mercy and truth. Let me ask you a question like this. Do you think there's an eternal reward for someone who is merciful to the poor, yet they have no truth in their life at all? Not even a drop, not even an ounce of truth. We all know that we've seen beautiful rings, gold rings. What gives that gold band a luster and a value? It's the diamond that's in it. There must be a diamond in the gold ring. Then it's truly beautiful and has great value. And in the same way, we must have the dual graces of truth and of mercy. Truth and mercy must be in us. We don't just want a band of mercy. We want truth to make it more beautiful. Well, let them not forsake you. The person who shows mercy, yes, to them mercy shall be shown. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A life like this is pleasing to God. Oh, we want to please him. I want to please the Lord. I want to be a truthful person, a merciful person. I want these dual graces in my life. And when they are in my life, these two graces, I will not only be pleasing to God, I will be useful to the church. I will be useful to man. So to God and man, I will be useful and a blessing. And this is how our Lord Jesus Christ was when he was upon the earth. You say, what do you mean? Well, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Oh, we must have favor with God and man. And when these two graces are present in our life, we shall have favor with, because people will see his divine stamp in our lives, and they will give honor to our Father, and God will see his stamp of his Son in our hearts, and it will please him and bring joy to him. active grace in our hearts. That's what we want. That's what we pray for. That's what we strive for. His word engraved upon our hearts. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In the sight of God and man. So shall you find favor and grace and obtain love and goodwill and good understanding. Good understanding. This is another fruit. Another fruit of wisdom. Good understanding. It comes by cherishing and respecting these two graces of mercy and truth. Well, a person that has them has a reputation of being wise. That's a wise person. And you can know and trace that those graces are active in their life. A man of good understanding is a person who always does what God's word says, always embraces the truth, always wants to be in step with the truth, always wants to be a doer of the word, not a questioner, a doer of the word. And they will be recognized in the sight of God and in the sight and amongst men. God and man will approve, and you shall prosper. Now comes the verse that to me touched my heart the most. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. And this verse, it turns our attention to relationship and how we should walk with God. And the verse places great importance on trusting God. And there are many Bible examples of people who trusted God and people who thought they trusted God. But I want to give you one that I'm sure that you know, and that's of Jairus. Jairus truly trusted God. And in Luke's Gospel, Luke 8 and verse 41, here we see a man that he knows where to go for help. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house. So even a ruler needs help. And he knew where to come. He came to the Lord Jesus for help. And we know that he had a little daughter who was 12 years old, and she was dying. She was very, very sick. And Jesus went with him. Now, he must have been really pleased. He had come for help. Help had been granted. And Jesus said, all right, let's go to your house. But on the way to the house, we know the story. There was a great throng of people, and a woman with an issue of blood. She came up behind Jesus secretly in the crowd, and she touched him. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Master, you see, there's a multitude of people thronging around you, and you asked, who touched you? But it was more than just an ordinary touch. It was a touch of faith. And we know the story. The woman was instantly healed. Straight away was the fountain of her blood dried up. And Jesus said to her, he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. But now Jairus is waiting, and he's faced with a worry, and anxiety is gripping his heart. Yes, he trusts the Lord, but now he's leaning unto his own understanding. What if this delay has been too much? My daughter is critical. Maybe we spend so much time here. I wish he could hurry up. Oh, I hope my daughter is okay. What if she dies? What if something terrible happens? And he wished he could say, but he didn't say it. We have no recording. He wished he could say, Lord Jesus, let's hurry up. My daughter, every minute is crucial. We must get to my daughter. But just as they were speaking, as Jesus was finishing with the woman with the issue of blood, there came people from Jairus' house with a message, terrible message. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher. His own understanding must have said to himself, it's too late. It's no hope anymore. If only we had hurried up. Why did this happen? Why did this woman have to come and touch the hem of his garment? Oh, he was so willing to come and help me. And now I have no more hope left. My daughter has died. But Jesus, when he heard it, he answered and he said, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she shall be made well. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, trust in the Lord, Jairus, with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Jairus could have reasoned in his mind, if only this hadn't been such a long delay, my daughter would be okay. But Jesus now had said, do not be afraid. Lean not unto your own understanding. And don't try to work it out. Don't try to work it out, Jairus, with human reasoning. Only believe and trust the Lord with all thine heart. And really, we have this crisis in our lives when we are faced with hard and difficult situations. We also face this dilemma. I begin to lean to my own understanding. I begin to ask questions. Why? Why is this happening? Why is life so difficult? But I must trust the Lord with all of my heart. And we read that Jairus did manage to trust the Lord. He kept trusting the Lord. And they went to the house. We know the story. It's so moving. It's so wonderful. The Lord touched the little girl and her spirit returned and she rose immediately. And then he commanded that she be given something to eat. And the parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Oh, when we trust the Lord with all of our hearts, we shall be astonished at what he can do. Astonished at his mercy, at his kindness, at his great power. We must trust the Lord with our whole hearts. But trusting the Lord also means distrusting ourselves. It means we trust him exclusively and we have no confidence in our own ability. We cannot truly trust the Lord as long as we're leaning upon ourselves, as long as we think we don't need help. Faith looks away from self and faith looks to the Lord. Faith relies on the Lord. Faith has confidence in the Lord. Faith lives with a constant awareness of his presence. Faith depends upon him at all times. Faith wants his will in all of our choices, his help in every step along our way. When we look to the Lord like this, with this commitment, he's certain to direct our steps. And I read this, which touched my heart. He's not only certain to direct our steps and guide our paths, He's certain to make a road where there is no road. Where there's impossible, our God makes a road. Our God, we think of the Bible verse in Isaiah 43 and verse 19, I will even make a road in the wilderness. Even if it seems impossible, I will make a road for you. I will give you rivers in the desert. Trusting in the Lord brings calmness to the mind, peace to our lives. Maybe you're facing something difficult. Trust in the Lord. Peace will come back. Peace will come and settle in your hearts. Trusting in the Lord that my steps are ordered by the King who knows everything. There is, when we trust the Lord, there's also a willingness to accept His guidance, His sovereign will, His providence. No matter what He determines for us, I trust Him. I relax in it. I have confidence in Him. And Philippians 3:3 says it like this. We rejoice in Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. In all my ways I acknowledge Him, for He directs my path. And this includes even ordinary matters, even everyday matters. He guides us in everyday matters. He loves to guide us when we ask Him for help. Let's make this our habit. Let's make this, instead of running to friends or people, let's run to the throne of grace. Lord, I'm in need of help. Help me, O God. Guide me. Before I look to what I want, self-will, before I look to what will please me the most, before I look to what is most convenient, let me look to the Lord. Let me trust the Lord with my whole heart. God first. I'm going to put you first in my life. In every circumstance, we trust His providence. I trust His providence. Let me tell you a story that I heard this week. I was listening to a preaching. I heard the preacher telling this story. And a missionary was working in a faraway land, and she was supported on a monthly basis. In those days, there were no mobile money transfers. She received a check in the post, monthly check in the post. And this was all she had to live on. Well, one month, the check didn't come. And she began to lean unto her own understanding. She began to worry, oh, has the church dropped me? Has the church stopped supporting me? Do they not like what I'm doing? Oh my, what will I do? Oh, maybe I have sinned. Maybe God is punishing me. Oh, what can I do? Why is this happening to me? And then, to make matters worse, she had no money. All she had in the house was some oats. You know, the oats porridge and some tins of milk. And for 30 days, because she had no money, she lived on oats and milk. And to make it worse, in those 30 days, she was very sick. Very, very sick. She had some problems with her stomach. And anyway, after 30 days, suddenly the check came in the post. And she said, oh, this is wonderful. The check is back. Soon she was on furlough back in her home country, and she was sharing the incident with her friend who was a doctor. And her doctor friend said to her, well, I think I know why the check didn't come. She said, what do you mean? She said, you have described to me your intestine trouble that you've had. And to me, that sounds like this and this condition. And the only treatment or the best treatment for that condition is a diet for 30 days of oats. And if your check had come, you would have eaten normally. But because your check didn't come, you had to eat the prescribed diet that saved your life. You probably could have died if you ate normal food. Oh, you see, God knows best. Sometimes we think, why? Why? We lean unto our own understanding. We begin to cry, self-pity. Oh no, why is this happening to me? I'm just serving the Lord with my whole heart. Why should I have to face? God knows best. God knows best. And I think she could say, He led me forth in the right way. Oh, that's what faith says. Faith says, doesn't matter how difficult it was, He led me forth in the right way. He led me forth. It's really foolishness to have confidence in myself. It's foolish to have confidence in the unsaved and all those that are around me. Do you know that even the unsaved, even the lost, even those sitting in darkness, there's a saying that people have. And the saying is this: I could have found wisdom if only pride hadn't convinced me that I already had it. You see, that's what pride does. It convinces you that you already have wisdom and you don't need more. Oh, but a humble person seeks the Lord and says, Lord, I trust your wisdom, your way above my way. Your way is always filled with grace. Your way is always best. Your way is a way which brings benefits. So fearing the Lord, respecting the Lord, this is the way. This is what we must do, each of us. And in these first seven verses, we see, do not forget my law. Let mercy and truth not forsake you. Trust the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And all these have such a benefit. They are all filled with tremendous grace, length of days, long life, and peace. You will find favor and high esteem in the sight of the Lord. He shall direct your paths. But now we see another valuable benefit in verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. God's wisdom and the fear of the Lord gives health, the King James says, to your navel, to your navel. And we see a little child, a little baby there. And when a baby is in the womb, it takes no food by the mouth. No, it is fed through the navel, through that umbilical cord. And we do not forget the law of the Lord. We do not let mercy and truth forsake us. We are His word. This wisdom nourishes us, nourishes us. And as a baby is nourished by that umbilical cord, God's word strengthens our overall well-being. It strengthens our body. It strengthens our emotional and mental health. Oh, everything that we need comes through the wisdom of God, comes into our lives, strengthens us, it quietens our minds. When our minds are troubled, it governs our desires. When our desires get out of line, the Word of God recalibrates us and governs us and brings us back into it, restrains our passions. When we want to do wrong things, God's Word restrains us and it teaches us to live soberly before God. And these graces are so helpful. They're so good to the body, so good to the soul. They preserve me inwardly and outwardly from all harm. All the plans that Satan has to harm me, these graces preserve me and keep me marrow to our bones. Marrow to our bones. Physical health, well-being, watering and nourishing our bones. And what's the opposite? The opposite of strength to the bones. The opposite of nourishing the bones. I saw a Bible verse that said, it is rottenness to the bones. Rottenness to the bones. Oh, I don't want rottenness to my bones. I want my bones to be nourished with marrow. And when there is rottenness in the bones, there is constant grief. Constant grief in the mind. Pressure on our spirits. Wasting away of the body. Marrow to the bones is strength. Marrow to the bones is strength. In the same way that wisdom and the fear of the Lord is strength to the soul. Strength to the soul. It gives spiritual strength, spiritual health, holy stability, so that we're strong when temptation comes. We're able to say no to temptation, no to the devil, and we have strength to faithfully do what God has called us to do. I close now by asking, have you laid hold of wisdom? Have you laid hold of understanding and the true meaning of life? Have you laid hold of eternal life? Have you received God's gift of new life? Have you asked and repented and believed the gospel? And if you ask today, you shall surely find wisdom. Well, actually, wisdom will find you, because God has come to seek and to save the lost. He's seeking you. He's looking for you. He wants to show mercy to you. Truth and wisdom shall find you. He comes to seek. Oh, say to the Lord, I am lost, Lord. Find me, I pray. Find me today. I pray, Lord, save me. I pray, Lord, forgive me today. I pray, Lord, let me have newness of life this very day. Amen and amen.